The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It's Need to Know, another edition here on Tony Curry Radio. Kip Kiefer with you as always, and glad to be here. Always enjoy catching up with everybody out there and giving you some things hopefully you need to know or would like to know or maybe forgot. We are going to cover a lot of ground today, so we'll get right to it. It's amazing. It's the end of October. Loving the weather, but kind of dreading the year just flying by so much. My father wasn't great at giving life advice, but he did say something pretty profound years ago when I said something about time flying by. He said, just wait a while. When you get a little bit up in years, it really picks up speed. And man, he's absolutely right, because in a blink of an eye, it just seems like this year has pretty much gone right by the wayside. We're about just a few days from Halloween, and it's not a holiday that I particularly celebrate or embrace or have ever been terribly involved with. I give people credit that go to all the trouble to make the effort to decorate and just some displays in some yards and some things in neighborhoods that people go all out, and props to them for having that kind of dedication. But it's never been a real big deal for me, but I'm not typically one that is obsessed or bothered by or scared by ghosts and goblins and witches. Although I will confess, that wicked witch on the Wizard of Oz movie, way back when I was a kid, freaked me out. That was the scariest little green woman that I've ever lived. And to this day, images of her make me shudder. Those flying monkeys didn't help much either. So I was a little susceptible to some of the things that spook us on Halloween. But right now I'm going to tell you what I'm a lot more spooked by. And it is this whole transition our country is seemingly in, which I think most of the country probably, and I'm talking about Americans, not America, I think most Americans are not real comfortable with the idea of this giant, massive central government that I've been talking about here on the show for weeks and weeks. It's not a direction that we really want to go. We don't. It is an absolutely proven historical fact that a massive, central, all-controlling government, aka socialism, communism, Marxism, it's when individual liberty is surrendered to a government who thinks it's better qualified to make decisions in your life than you are. That system has never worked. It doesn't work. There is an elite class, and then there's everybody else. And it really is not a system that's ever worked economically successfully or in terms of providing citizens in those kind of situations with the rights and liberties that they richly deserve, the unalienable rights that we talk about in our Constitution. So that's what scares me as we approach Halloween. We're about 2 weeks from the midterm elections. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and talk about voting, you know, or what your preferences are. That is every American's right. I don't think, as I've been very clear to point out on our programs, that the problem is necessarily Democrat against Republican. This is a mindset of big government against individual liberty, and really the brilliant system that our founders conceived of representative government. And that is the system that we have. So that's why it's so puzzling and something I want to talk about today, this whole catchphrase, and give props to the left and the progressives, whatever you want to call them. They develop their talking points and their themes, and they stick with them without any kind of hesitation to make changes. One of the big buzzwords you're hearing over and over, and you can do a montage and you'll hear 300 people say, threat to our democracy. Well, that is kind of a catchphrase for, we really don't have any successes to run on. The country is in the tank. Prices are out the window high. Gasoline to fill up your car is ridiculous. Our borders are wide open. We've had 3 million people illegally enter the country in the last couple of years. We have over 100,000 Americans dead from overdoses, or not even an overdose, just from simply taking this illegal fentanyl that's flooding across our borders. There's runaway problems with these cartels making millions of dollars who are terrorist organizations. It's really a horrible situation that we're facing here in our country. That there's foreign policy problems. China and Russia have gotten emboldened because of weak leadership in our country. There's pockets of the world where there's hot spots and a lot of issues. Things are not good now. So instead of trotting out any kind of campaign strategy, the buzzword is vote for us or it's a threat to our democracy. Well, as I just explained, we don't actually technically live in a, quote, democracy, unquote. Democracy is a term that means that the majority rules. And in this country, that is true, but it's with a qualification that was put in when our country was conceived, and it's constitutional law here and has been the law of the land since this country's conception. Representative republic, which basically means that if you have giant population areas, as we do in places like New York and California, and those people overwhelmingly vote for one concept or one form of government or whatever it might be, that all the other places in the country also have a voice and a say in the goings-on in that scenario. In other words, yes, the majority does matter. The bigger jurisdictions like New York, like California, like Illinois, have a lot more seats in Congress and electoral votes for the presidency that is based on the total population of those areas. Other places, smaller population areas around the country, Wyoming's a good example. They only have one congressional district. So they have one seat in the House of Representatives. They have one electoral vote. The system is brilliant because if these overwhelming majority areas are heavily in favor of a concept and the rest of the country, or the overwhelming majority of the rest of the country in terms of the different states and locations that are smaller populations, if all of them are on the same page, their will can actually overcome the fact that majorities concentrated in certain areas favor something. So it's not a true democracy. You heard Hillary Clinton whine like crazy that she won the popular vote but lost the presidency because, again, she overwhelmingly carried heavily blue areas and the rest of the country pretty much rejected her. And all of those small jurisdictions added up were enough electoral votes, again, based on population, to make Donald Trump the president in 2016. So that's the genius of our system. It is a country and all the states matter, and wherever you live, your vote matters. Imagine what if we adopted a true democracy like a lot of proponents on the left want. then it doesn't, if you lived in, let's say, Utah, it would be useless for you to even go cast a vote because there's not enough people in your area that would be able to have a voice and say, your vote would be basically negated and the will of certain population areas would completely take charge of the process. So threat to our democracy? Well, it's not a true democracy. And yes, it's a threat to American way of life if some people get their way. But again, the reason that this phrase has been adopted is because the ruling party right now has so little to run on that they have to threaten you with, if you go against us, you are threatening to tear down everything that we have. But they are already tearing it down. So it's kind of irony that is resounding in my humble opinion. Now, again, I'm not telling you to go out and vote for independents or Republicans or anybody else. I want you to look at every race wherever you are and make a good decision based on your life and your individual liberty of what and you choose to have happening and educate yourself. An uneducated electorate is a dangerous thing, and it's something the founders feared as they put this country's structure together. The electorate has got to be informed and has got to make good decisions on behalf of the country because voting is such an important right and so critical to everything working properly. So take it seriously. Do your homework, your due diligence, select the candidates and the ideologies that fit your lifestyle and your belief system the best, and the system will work as it's designed. Now, speaking of threats to our democracy, a major threat to our democracy, and this is not partisan whatsoever because both sides of the political spectrum are blatantly guilty in what I'm getting ready to talk about of perpetuating something that is truly alarming. This was a system, once again, that the states had the right to select their representatives to send to represent their interests in Washington. And the problem is that whole concept is under tremendous siege now because really, the only thing that matters, sadly now in politics, is, you guessed it, the same thing we always talk about is at the root of all evil, money, cash, huge contributions, massive donations. Do you know, in a country right now with soaring inflation and high prices, have you ever taken a step back, and I know everybody's aware of this, but maybe it's not something you consciously think about, how much money is involved in this modern day in elections all around the country? For instance, I know for a fact that I saw a recent figure in the Georgia Senate race where incumbent Raphael Warnock, the senator from Georgia, is trying to hold off the challenge from former Georgia football star Herschel Walker. In that one race alone, Senate race, Warnock has raised $90 million. Herschel Walker, about $35 million. So between the two of them, that's $125 million. But here's the really sad fact. The majority of that money did not come from Georgia. It is being pumped in to that race from all corners of the country, maybe even from corners of people that aren't even in America, all hoping to influence the outcome of a race that they are not even and should not even be involved in. You've got the huge elitist interests on the progressive side, Hollywood and political operations, Wall Street, major corporations, for whatever reason, philosophically, that are wanting things to keep trending in the same direction. And then on the other side, you've got conservative organizations and different causes that are filtering money into the other side. The bottom line is, this is one race. In every Senate race, and right now, every 6 years, a senator's term is up. So every 2 years, about a third of the Senate is up for re-election. This year, I think there are 17 races contested around the country. In those 17 races, it all comes down for so many people that are pumping money into these races in all kinds of states, like New Hampshire, one of the tiniest states in the country. Millions and millions of dollars coming in for the incumbent and the challenger. If you've put a pencil to it, and I haven't done it exactly, but out of those 17 Senate races alone, with Georgia being indicative of at over $100 million, if you think about it, there is more than, easily more than $2 billion being put into Senate races alone. And that's just preposterous in a country that's talking about runaway costs and Americans not being able to afford their way of life and living paycheck to paycheck. The blatant waste of what our election system has deteriorated into, of this ridiculous amount of buying and selling candidates, it's just astounding. Now, if that's not enough, every congressional seat in the House of Representatives comes up every 2 years. That means there are 435 of those races around the country. That number is correct. 435 seats up for grabs in the elections in a couple of weeks. Now, the money pouring into those races certainly isn't as high as the Senate, which has a lot more influence on things, but the House is vitally important as well, because of course they have to pass the same legislation that goes on to the Senate and vice versa. So 435 races there. If we just take, and again, this is totally speculative, but in a typical House race, we're still talking about millions of dollars going into those races as well. Maybe as much as $50 or $60 million, I would make an educated guess on average, to both sides, times 435, that's another $2 billion plus dollars going in. So I think it's a conservative estimate that in these national elections for Congress, and this is not even taking into account local races, governorships, all the different offices that are up for grabs, but strictly in the federal government, which again is in a mode to try and take more and more control of your life and times, conservatively, there's over $5 billion flying around that's going into campaigns and is being spent on other insidious little things called PACs. PAC, Political Action Committee. About 80% of the advertising you see on TV for different political races are paid for by PACs. And a PAC, again, a Political Action Committee, there's no limitation on what they can spend or raise. They basically do hatchet ads on the candidates that they don't like in states. And it's the most negative and not fact-checked, a lot of times not even true, allegations against candidates that they don't like on either side. And again, don't get me wrong, both sides are blatantly guilty of all of these offenses that I'm talking about. And you've seen a lot of the ads come up on your television screen, and they're usually shoddily done and highly questionable with their content. And yet here they are flourishing in election season every year to try to influence outcomes. So much money on the table in these situations, and it's just appalling that this is the nature of what we are dealing with now. The money to try to buy influence in elections is out of control. So They're taking away the rights of people in states all around the country to make their decisions based on their needs and beliefs, and trying to buy the influence. And who knows? It's scary to think. Also, you know, where some of those dollars are allocated. Of course, a lot of those end up as expenses for candidates, for elaborate staffs, and a huge ground game that they can utilize. The more money you have, the more effective a candidate you are, and that's just wrong. It's a scary situation in a country right now in economic distress. Of course, when there's that much money, you also have to worry about the integrity of elections. Of course, in this country now, it has become completely taboo to suggest that there are areas where elections can be unduly influenced and corrupted. But we won't spend a lot of time on that. But you saw that after 2016, when Trump was elected, there was great uproar that there was Russian interference and the election was tainted and the wrong president, an illegitimate president, was taking office. And you heard all of that from that side. And of course, in 2020, when Joe Biden unseated the incumbent Donald Trump, there was massive, massive noise and shouting from rooftops that that election was tainted in a lot of ways. And it was even more vulnerable than any previous election we'd ever had, because of the simple fact that emergency procedures in a COVID year were accepted and adopted that completely changed the game. It was really the first mail-in election that we've ever had. We've had absentee ballots, but in this particular case, you could secure your ballot, take them to drop-off locations. Also, in a lot of states, there's vote harvesting, which means representatives from a particular party can go out and gather votes and turn them in huge groups. I mean, there was so much abnormal activity in that election because it was made possible by the pandemic that there are legitimate questions about that election. But, you know, it is the responsibility of Americans once the results are certified to respect the office of the president. I will say that in the 2016 election, there was approximately 120 some odd million votes cast. This time in 2020, over 150 million. So that's a pretty significant, about a 25% increase in the amount of votes, which gives you a pretty good idea of just how many ballots were flying around. And I'll also give you this example. A good friend of mine has a early 20s daughter that was still living at home. She's a registered Democrat. She received not one, not two, but seven ballots in the mail to vote in the 2020 presidential election. And that is an absolute fact that he actually has proof, a photo of seven different ballots sent to his daughter. You know, so how much of that went on, we don't know, but it's not worth really beating the drum for here. It's just to point out that like power, money absolutely corrupts. And it's something that all of us as Americans need to be concerned with, because the election process, from campaigning to candidates to how elections are conducted, are the lifeblood of our system. And we've got to protect that and actually participate in it directly as citizens at all costs. Moving on, I think the other kind of pertinent points here is to talk about the whole, back to the phrase, a threat to our democracy. The threat to our democracy is if we lose the ability to have discourse and have discussion and compromise, because that's what this system is based on. You don't get everything you want. And if we get to the point where one party gets in control and can change a lot of the components that have kept checks and balances in place that have allowed for debate and compromise, which is a ceasing entity in this day and age, unfortunately, that again is the very foundation of our system, then our threat to democracy, our threat to a representative republic, the threat to the American way of life that we have all been raised in and privileged to live under, then it is dramatically threatened. The real hardcore people that are trying to buy these elections want to get enough representation in the Senate where they can change Senate rules that have been in place since day one, which it gives a party that's in the minority the opportunity to filibuster, delay votes, allow more time for negotiation. It keeps the Senate from being a knee-jerk reactor in situations where one party or the other, and again, this is on both sides, if one party or the other gets to the power position in the Senate, there are safeguards to protect that institution from just running off and doing things to completely upend the system. And by that, I'm talking about the proposal to kill the filibuster idea, which both parties have used extensively for hundreds of years and allow just simple majority votes to determine policy. And it is going to be so disruptive if that is allowed, because other things can be simply passed that are devastating to our democracy, our republic, like packing the Supreme Court. You know, if things, elections have consequences, and if certain administrations are in power, they can put on justices that fit more their ideological view. Now, it's supposed to be all based on legal situations in the judicial. If we lose the ability to have a court that has balance and a variety of ideologies and pack it with extra members that are put into place by the party that's in power, that party is never going to surrender that power. And everything that we hold true and believe in is pretty much going to be out the window. Just some food for thought this week. I hope some things that maybe you didn't realize or hadn't thought about, but the bottom line is the threat to our democracy, the threat to our republic, is the ridiculous, unfathomable amount of money that's being pumped in to try to buy the influence and power that we always talk about in one giant, massive federal government, which believe me, I'm a history major, a history expert. It has never worked. It cannot work, because eventually you run out of other people's money to spend. If you love America and you love your life and liberty, you need to make an informed decision when picking our leaders and moving us forward. I'm Kip Kiefer. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. We will be with you next week right here on Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.